Good morning, everyone. All right, thank you. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, we're very honored today to have a fine young man that has overcome many things. If you've ever met his family, you'll know what I mean. All right? We won't mention any names, but I told him he brought everybody but his dog. He should have just brought the dog. Everybody else is here. We could just have a family reunion, right? We got that one foreign guy there in the black shirt. I don't know how he got in there. I think he's adopted, so it's okay. All right, are we all ready to hear a word? I've told these guys to make it light on themselves, but they never do it. They always find something hard to speak about. But Jesse made a good point this morning. It may be hard, but he's going to talk about surrender. Everything starts with that. You can't get any of the blessings without that, correct? So we're going to square one. Let's go from here. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Who would you like? Well, no, I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to give it to the patriarch here. He's second in charge next to Debbie.
Number two is not bad, Bob. Number two is not bad.
No, absolutely.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord God. I thank you for everybody that's here, Father God, that took time, Father God, to listen to your word, Father God. Father, I know that you have something special for each and every one of us that Jesse's going to bring forth, Lord God. I thank you for his courage just to come before us, Father, to bring forth what's on his heart, Lord God. Let him enjoy bringing forth your word, Lord God. We thank you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All yours, Jesse.
All right. This is different because last time I taught, I was given a subject to teach about, and this time I was not. So it's definitely coming from a different place of, asking.
So if it doesn't go well, it's your fault.
Right, absolutely. So it comes from a different place because I had to ask what it is that I felt God wanted me to teach on. And I had to come to the realization that it may not be for anyone here. It may be something that you guys take to someone else, and they're the ones that need to hear it. So, as I prepared, I did come to, just a place of prayer and worship, and I was sitting in my living room, just kind of had some worship music in the background and thought I had something I wanted to teach on, but, 3 days later, that all changed. A song came on, and it was I Surrender from Hillsong. It was a song that I had listened to probably every day I walked to school in the morning, and I was like, wow, I haven't heard this in a while. I really love this song, but the word surrender really hit me because I was like, do I really understand what that means, to surrender to God? So that's how it all came about, and that's where I got this idea of teaching on surrender from. So as a question, anyone excluding Shane can give me the definition of surrender. Anyone? You guys can answer if you want.
Give it up.
Sandy?
Give it in.
Say that one more time. Who said that? Sandy, I should have known.
Give up or give in?
Give in. Anyone else?
You scared me.
Turning over. All right, so the definition I have is cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. And that alone was like, whoo, because you realize that without surrendering to God, you're an opponent to his will. You're in constant battle with what he has for your life. So without surrendering, how are we going to be a true disciple of what Christ has for us in our life? So with that, I also have some other definitions that I want to clarify because they're going to come later on in the teaching. So can anyone tell me what they think the definition of Lord is? Lord.
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 L-O-R-D. You're like a game show host.
Lord means controller of.
Controller of. Anyone else? All right. So the definition I have is a ruler by hereditary right or preeminence to whom service and obedience are due. Due being a person's right or what is owed to them. And the reason why I wanted to touch on this is because you know, when we talk about surrender, as Christians, we understand that God is our Savior and that He has died for our sins. But do we understand and make the choice to have Him be Lord of our life, where obedience are due to Him? Are we saying yes when the call is given to us? So I would like to read a couple of stories from the Bible in which we have some examples of people that wanted to follow Christ, where He either gives them advice as to what that really means, or people who did it and did it without any hesitation. So the first place I'd like to read from is Luke 14, verse 25. And it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." So that really just, in that passage, I really took from it, are we weighing the cost of what it means to be Jesus' disciple? Are we willing to surrender everything to be His disciple? And in my study Bible, obviously, they break down each passage, and it said something that really kind of hit me there, is when a builder doesn't count the cost or estimates it inaccurately, the building may be left uncompleted. Will you abandon the Christian life after a little while because you did not count the cost of commitment to Jesus? What are those costs? Christians may face a loss of social status or wealth. They may have to give up control over their money, their time, or their career. They may be hated, separated from their family, and even put to death. And, you know, sometimes I think to bring a realization of what that means for us is to bring, like, something of world to understand what that could be. So I wanted to ask Ricardo, maybe, you know, the decision to follow Christ is something that we have to be ready to die for. And I think in your situation, you went to go serve our country, and you had to make a decision like that to say, you know, I'm willing to separate from my family. I'm willing to go out and I'm going to die for this. And I just wanted to maybe think, is that the same kind of decision that you think is there
for Christ? Yeah, I'd probably say it was harder. It's a harder decision.
Yeah.
I think that when I joined the military, you know, that was a hard decision. It was tough. It was scary. I didn't know what I was getting into. Even when I went to basic, I had a lot of hard time. Emotionally, mentally, physically, it was tough. But I think that our choosing to walk with Christ or with the Lord is harder because not only are you doing things, trying to mimic Christ, but you're also looking at yourself, looking at, you know, trying to weed out the bad in you, you know, and stuff like that. And I think that's harder than, in a lot of ways, harder than the military, harder than all that. Now, maybe that's a glimpse into it is hard, yes, it's tough. But I think that our walk with the Lord is to be taken way more serious.
Exactly. And that's the kind of the point I'm trying to make there is that, you know, some people make that decision and think that's easy, but are we making that same type of choice to realize that that's what we need to do when we follow Christ, is give up everything and surrender it to Him? So from something else that I came across is from Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62. And here we have three different men who are either being asked to follow Jesus or want to follow Him, but maybe have not taken the time to understand what that means. In 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, being Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I think each of these stand out for their own reason, but the one that I really want to touch on is the second man, and in Matthew Henry it kind of gives a commentary as to why I want to touch on that. But first we'll start with the first, and it says, man number one was stating that I will follow you wherever you go. And going back to the first passage, we have, are we going to weigh those costs? And he may not have done that, being the reason why Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Seeing as though, if you're going to follow me, there may not be any comfort after this. There is nowhere for you to feel comforted. I'm out in the wilderness. I'm going all the time. This is what you have ahead of you. And then there's the second man. And this is where, for me, it was really convicting once I read the Matthew Henry because of the reason they give. And because, I will read from there now, but there's three temptations that they say he was probably faced with. So it says, temptation one, we are tempted to rest in a discipleship at large in which we may be loosely attached to Christianity and not have commitment. Number two would be, we are tempted to defer the doing of that which we know to be our duty and put it off to some other time. When we have got clear of such responsibility and difficulty, then we will begin to think of being religious. And so we are cheated out of all our time by being cheated out of the present time. And that just really hit me because, and it's just really convicting for me because just the last year and a half, it's been marriage, house again. So for me, it's, I can see a lot of that in myself, to defer those responsibilities to Christ, to my responsibilities at home. To say, you know, this will be easier once we're married. This will be easier when this is done in my house. This will be easier when I can get this done. And I was just really hit because it's like, how many times have I just deferred my responsibility to do something else and not realized that by not doing that, I'm being cheated out of all of my time just because I'm not doing what I can in that time. And I think that's just a really big part of, you know, surrendering that to God, because we have to be able to sacrifice some things to be able to have that relationship with Christ and be a true disciple. And then we have the third man. I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And again, Jesus replies, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom. And I think what he's really trying to say is that, you know, when we start our journey, he doesn't want us looking back and saying, you know, that was just so much easier, that was so much better, because that's pretty much being lukewarm, and we know how he feels about that.
In the natural, anyone that's ever, do we have anybody here that's ever plowed? Okay. You too? Oh, I know you're a farm girl. She pulled the plow. That's how, you're a bad girl. No. Anyone that's ever plowed, the only technique is, it's a tendency to look back and see if I'm going straight. If you do, you're not going to go straight. The only way to plow is get a fixed point in front of you. And do not take your eyes off of it. That's the only way to get a straight line, is to fix your eyes on a point. Don't look back. Don't look sideways. Just keep your eyes focused on that, because whatever you're looking at is a direction that you'll go in. Rico, you have something? Yes.
One thing I got from that, I've came across that verse and really thought about it a lot. And one thing that I really get out of that verse is our walk is our walk alone. And that means that even if my wife decides that she doesn't want to come, or even if my wife has other priorities that she made in her life, it has nothing to do with my walk, and I shouldn't use anything or even make an excuse, oh, well, my, you know, I got to help my wife. No, this is more important, your walk. So that takes precedence over everything else. And that's that fixation on that straight line, you know, is making sure that God is number one.
I think what I'm trying to gather from all this is that it's about our will must die beneath what God's will is, and that we must want what Jesus wants for us. And so true surrender is the idea that we die to ourselves so that Christ may have all of us. So, and I don't want to be so like down-putting that, you know, we have to give up everything, but that there is a reason for giving up everything and why we should want to do that. So in Luke 9, verse 23, it says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." And I think that's just a really powerful statement, because we get the idea that we're losing our life, but not realizing what that does for us in eternity. I have another story, but what I want to share from this story is that the person I want to talk about is Elisha. And in this instance, I feel as though he did a very good job of kind of stepping away fully and giving up everything he had for Christ. So in that, I want to read from 1 Kings 19:19. It says, "So Elijah went from there, and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come with you.' 'Go back,' Elijah replied. 'What have I done to you?' So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people. And they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant." And I think there alone was like, here's this call I have on my life to follow Elijah. He's making sure there's no way he can come back to the life he had. He slaughters his oxen, he burns his plow, and he gives the full commitment to follow Elijah. And that's the same thing that we, in a sense, have to do, is when we're surrendering our life, we're giving up all of the things that we have to give to Christ so that he can be our true will and have what we want for our lives. One last story, which I think is probably the best one, and I think did it the most flawlessly, is from Luke 22:39 through 42. And this is where Jesus is in the garden. And this is the answer that we should be giving each and every day of our lives. And it says, "Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' He withdrew about a stone's distance, knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.'" And that right there is the statement in which I feel as though I want to be able to say every day, is, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life." And I think that's the point of true surrender, is to give up what we want for what Christ wants for us. I think what I have written down is the reason most people will live a hindered walk is because they have not yet fully surrendered their life to Christ. They have not given up the things that they want to hold on to. And I think that really just, you're at that constant battle. He's an opponent to you when you're not wanting to give all that up for him. So, you know, this is the time where I think, for me, it was examining my own life and saying, well, what is it that I haven't surrendered? What's holding me back from saying, "God, not my will, but your will be done"? And so the last verse I want to share is from Job 22:21-25. And it says, "Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove wickedness far from your tent and assign your nuggets to the dust, your gold of Ophir to the rocks and the ravines, then the Almighty will be the gold, the choicest silver for you. And I think that alone was like kind of like the cusp of everything that I wanted to say today, was that if we're willing to submit to God and be at peace, prosperity will come. If we're willing to accept instruction from his mouth, we will return to the Almighty. And these things are all the things that we need to do to fully surrender to Christ and want to be a disciple and follow him truly. And my wife laughed at the last part because it was just funny wording, but I really, even though it is funny wording, I kind of understood what they meant, because if you take all of the worldly things that you have, you know, the nuggets to the dust or gold of Ophir to the rocks, then God will be the choicest silver for you, the one thing that you hold the most high in your life. And that's probably the most important. And so I want to play a song, obviously, because I'm an O'Rourke. And it is the song that I listen to each and every day. But I don't want it to, I think most times when I watch people play songs is, you know, we try to analyze what they're saying, what it's trying to mean for us. But that's not really what I want from this. This is like a declaration that I have for my life, at least, is that I want to surrender to Christ. So I want this to be like a song of worship, a song of that we don't just sit and analyze a song and just kind of read, but that we can stand and really just, if this is something we want for our lives, you know, raise our arms, surrender to Christ and say, you know, I surrender, not my will, but your will be done in my life, Lord.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all, and find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, I'm desperate. Desperate for you, I surrender. Drench my soul, is mercy and grace. Something
So, I mean, just that is, you know, Lord, have your way in me. And if we're going to say Lord, he is due our obedience. So I think with that, it's just, that's where I'm getting at is, you know, the obedience is due to our Lord. And if we're surrendering to him, he's expecting obedience. So if there's anything anyone has to add, Bob?
We'll start off by giving the young man a hand. Great job, Jesse. You have a question, young lady?
No question, just a comment.
Now that I believe.
Jesse, that was so on point because this morning when I rose, I got up kind of early because my mindset was drawing closer to God by being on time, coming to services that I'm able to come to now. So I thank God that today I made it to intercessory prayer. It's been a while since I've seen, you know, Ben doing. So I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank you for that song because surrendering is what was my cry, my plea, and the verses that I took from that was like from David, one of the Psalms. He says, Lord, my soul thirsts after thee like a deer pants after water. So that song, I just want to say, was on point. Your message is on point, and I love my family.
Thank you. All right. We have a cousin here from the O'Rourke family.
The definition, when you said the definition of Lord, the one thing I took out of that was it says someone who's due. You know, when someone who's due, you know, when we read the scripture that the Father gave inheritance to Christ, and it's due him. It's not something that, you know, of course we should surrender, but this is due him. He is Lord. He is Lord of everything and everybody, and everything is his. So, you know, that's due him. And if you think of that, you know, if something was due me, I would. I'm not just going to go, oh, yeah, that's due me. No, it's mine, so you're going to give it to me. So that's what.
You know, this is unusual because this is one of the teachings Jesse didn't share with me. Shared it with everybody else. He didn't want to have to listen to his father this time. But what I got from it is, yes, we do need to surrender. Absolutely, and that's the struggle daily, like he said, but what are we surrendering to? And who is it we're surrendering to? We're not surrendering to an enemy.
That's right, yes.
You know, we're not surrendering to a life that is going to be ended in grudgery or slavery. We're surrendering, which is odd, we're surrendering to freedom.
Yes.
We're surrendering to our Creator, to our loving Father, to our Heavenly Father, to the one that saved us from the sin, from the pit of hell. And yet we struggle with that. We get distracted. Like Jesse said, we get distracted with what this world offers when it doesn't compare to what it is and who it is that we're surrendering to. Let us stay focused on who it is we're surrendering to, Jesus, and what it is that he did. But there's a whole other realm in the heavenlies that we're surrendering to that isn't going to be nothing like this. You know, yeah, we have a hard time surrendering to heaven. And what it, streets paved with gold? It doesn't make sense sometimes in our own heads when we start thinking about it. It's like, I'm surrendering to not feeling the aches and pains that I have. I'm surrendering to giving up the honey-do list my wife has for me. Why would I not want that?
Amen. I just wanted to add one thing. God, give me a word while you were speaking there. When you talked about the two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, I kind of seen your dad as Elijah and you as Elisha. I've known your dad. He came to this church when he was a teenager. He was younger than you when I met him. And he's one of the greatest teachers we have here. We're blessed to have him, always has been, and always will be. But there is a greater gift on you because of the fact of the head start you had over him. He didn't surrender his life till he was in his teens. You were born in the womb. You were prayed over and anointed and everything. And it's really showing you have a really great gift of teaching the word. This is your calling right here. If you look around, there's 56 people sitting here that are acknowledging that. Well, 55. Sarge just come for the breakfast, right, Sarge? But no, these people come out to hear your take on the word of God, right? You have a great ability of breaking the word down. You have a great presentation. This is a real gift from God. Never walk away from that. Amen?
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. I would correct you on one thing. Several times you said my life and surrendering our life. That's not true. Nobody here owns their life. Who here created themselves? No? It's not our life anyway. We're giving up something that was just given to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Great teaching. Again, give them a hand. And, oh, also our cooks over there. Give our cooks a hand. Right? Sarge wouldn't be here without them. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to close now. That was great, Jesse. We appreciate it. I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, Brian to close. Is that okay with you? Okay. All yours, sir.
Well, this is just confirmation because I actually had a word for you too. And I don't get them that often. And the word was, you're polished. And then God showed me my Mustang. I always got that nice and polished. And that oh, Jesse, you've seen how, you know. And it showed me that God has polished you. And you're like a bright, shining example in you. You know, it's like that Mustang attracts looks, you know, the Holy Spirit in you. So,
amen.
Amen. So, Lord, thank you for this teaching, Lord God. And we do surrender to you, Lord God. Lord, help us to surrender those lives, you know, those things in our lives that we have a hard time battling, Lord. We just lay them down at your feet today and bless the worship today, bless the preaching and the teaching of the word. And, Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.